this Macbeth podcast. I'm Mrs. Dahl, and joining me to discuss the contrast between appearance and reality in Macbeth are
Miss Putinia,
Mr. Jones,
Annie,
Chloe,
Ava.
Okay, we don't mind where you or when you listen, but if you're in a position to take notes, you should grab a pen and paper. I'm going to start with a question. How does Shakespeare blur the lines between appearance and reality?
He uses visions and hallucinations to do so. So like when Lady Macbeth sees the blood on her hands, we know it's not there, but because of the guilt and like the emotions and stuff, she thinks it's there, and it's blurring the lines between appearance and reality, because some readers may think it's there whilst other ones don't think it's there, but we know for a fact that it's not there, because she's just delusional.
Why do we think she's gone delusional?
She's gone insane.
She's why though?
She's guilty.
Guilt. She's mad with guilt.
For what? What's she guilty of?
Killing
the king.
Well, she didn't kill directly, but encouraging killing the king.
But she was okay after killing the king, wasn't she, at first?
Yeah.
She was still in charge in the banquet scene and all of that. So why?
I think it was because she was no longer, like, so involved with Macbeth. They were kind of, like, separated. So she didn't have that sort of support where they both were doing it together. He was off doing his own thing, and she was kind of left to wallow in the guilt of what she'd actually done and realised what she'd done.
Yeah, she was, like, left to her own thoughts. Like, she finally, like, had some time alone and discovered that what she did was wrong, and it drove her insane.
Okay. And she wasn't... She didn't just feel responsible for killing Duncan, did she?
No.
Macbeth, though, went on to kill him.
Yeah.
So she started that ball rolling, maybe. What do you think?
Another time where appearance versus reality showed us Macbeth's hallucinations, because obviously he sees the dagger in front of him, it's not actually there.
Yeah. And what's the impact of that dagger?
It's driving him to kill Duncan because he thinks it's the right thing to do, because it's leading him that way to Duncan's room.
Yeah, it is, and he can blame the dagger, can't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can blame the dagger. The dagger's leading me there. The dagger's taking me that way. It's the dagger's fault. Do you remember what we said about the dagger as well?
Yeah, it was unsure where it was leading him to.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
it was leading him to killing Duncan or leading him away from it.
Yeah, and what kind of weapon is it?
It's a woman's weapon.
It's a woman's weapon. So we've gone from the big, strong soldier
with
big sword.
To now he's been like a weak little man using a little dagger to get what he wants.
Yeah, and it's a weapon that's usually concealed about someone, so it's like hidden, it's secret, so it's almost like, again,
he doesn't want anyone to know.
Have you got anything?
My favourite example of when Shakespeare uses it is definitely Lady Macbeth's dual personality, if you want to say, So basically in reality, she's stereotypically masculine, isn't she? You know, she's the one taking control, she's suggesting to Macbeth to do things, and she's the one who, you know, initially handles all the murder and stuff a lot better than Macbeth, because Macbeth's immediately regretful, you know, he's feeling the weight of it. And then, you know, but her, you know, appearance, you know, to Duncan, Macduff, to all the other characters, it's, you know, the stereotypical wife of the time, you know, and that's, I always think that's the best example of experience versus reality for me anyway.
Yeah.
And she's also teaching Macbeth how to be that by, like, telling him to be the serpent underneath, but, like, be a good host to, like, the face, like, being two-faced.
Especially when, my favourite part as well is when, obviously in the dinner scene, Macbeth is seeing Banquo, or the ghost of Banquo, and she's just immediately got a response for it, hasn't she?
Yeah,
she's like, oh,
he's been like this since
he's always been like this, don't worry about him, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So I just think it's really fascinating.
It is, it's that two-facedness, isn't it? You know, that she said, you know, and Macbeth says, when she first says about killing Duncan, and he says, but he's here in double trust. So he's there because he trusts him as a soldier, as someone who's always protected the king, but he's also there as a guest in their home. and she kind of tells Macbeth to play along with that, but obviously, you know, don't let him see what the reality of the situation is. So appear one way, but in reality you're the other.
It's not just with the visions and stuff though, it's like with the witches, for example. The witches appear to be the villain, but in reality Macbeth's the villain, because some people might say, oh, the witches encouraged him into it. No, it was his mindset that encouraged him into it. The witches may have commented, but it doesn't mean that they told him to do so. It's like the witches may appear as a villain, as the villains, but in reality it's Macbeth.
Well, they didn't tell him to kill Duncan, did they?
That's what I mean. So it's like, it was his decision, it was his conscience decision to do so.
I was going to say which characters are not who they appear to be, but I think I'm going to change that to, are any of the characters true? Are any of them who they actually appear to be?
Banquo could be on that line. I mean, he appeared to be a brave soldier, and he was one, and he died with honour, you know what I mean? But then, in comparison to people like Macbeth, he appeared as a soldier, but then in reality he was a cruel villain.
Macbeth was.
So I feel like Banquo was one of the only characters. Maybe Malcolm, who appeared true to who he was stereotyped as.
He's a bit of a coward though, wasn't he?
Bit of a coward, but he did appear to, in the end, he appeared to what he should have been, like a king.
I feel like at the same time though, when I think of Malcolm, I think of him like a young lad, like, and so maybe he figured, you know, that was the only way he could stay safe himself was to run.
Yeah, because he didn't stay and try and fight, and he knew what kind of person Macbeth was, I suppose, and that he was going to take over. Do the witches, are the witches who they appear to be?
I think so. I think they like all their gory little magic, and they like tricking people, like telling people all these things and seeing what their reactions will be, and just trying to see what will come from
See, it. In a way though, because people always thought them to be like horrible people, and like there were certain things that could make you spot them out, but then like they might even be who they think they are. So like they might think, sorry, I know what I'm trying to say, but so they might think that they're not like humans at all, like they're not like humans, like I've just said, but like I don't know how to explain it, but then really they could be just humans who believe in witchcraft.
So it's kind of like seeing how William Shakespeare makes them look. Compared to how the audience
actually sees
them.
Because he says they're withered and wild, doesn't he? He says that they're unearthly, things like that. So it is kind of, are they real from Earth? Are they women, even? He says they have beards. But I often think that could be Shakespeare's sense of humour, because who would have played them at the time?
Men.
So maybe that's like his sense of humour, the fact that they're kind of bearded. So it could be that. It could be, you know, and also that as well. They appear to be women, but actually
they're acting like women, by men. But the men.
Yeah. So you know, we've got that kind of blur in the lines between appearance and reality there, haven't we?
Yeah.
But in all honesty, as characters, they are who they are supposed to be.
How they are in the beginning when they're first presented, they don't change.
They talk to us about the captain on the ship who they kind of sank the ship. You know, they did all horrible things to him, didn't they?
Yeah.
And all of that because his wife wouldn't give them chestnuts. And then they tell Macbeth those things, but they don't tell him what to do.
No, they just tell him what could be.
And he goes back to them, and they show him the apparitions. They tell him that he's safe until Bernwood comes to Dunsinane.
Yeah.
They tell him to beware Macduff, apologies. And they tell him that he can't be killed by anyone who wasn't born of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't lie to him at all. All of those things happen.
They just don't reveal the whole truth.
No.
But to me, that's like a form of almost lying.
Yeah.
Because I always felt the line, "Beware Macduff," that's what spurred Macbeth to kill Macduff's family.
Yeah.
So if he hadn't done that,
yeah,
you know, they wouldn't have attacked Dunsinane.
Yeah. Yeah. It all pushes. They seem to control it all, don't they? From
yeah.
a distance, just by dropping little hints. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anywhere else? Oh, we said Banquo's ghost as well at the banquet, didn't we? What about that? Why is that so important?
I think that's when the true idea of what Macbeth had really done and what he had became got to him, because that was like one of his, that was like his best friend who he had done something so brutal to, coming to be like, "You don't belong here, this isn't who you are, you shouldn't have done this."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but that's what he has done.
First time we see Macbeth is going a little bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And really, he doesn't have to hide anything at that point, does he? Because he's king.
Yeah,
so
no one's going to do anything to him.
Yeah, so he can go a little bit mad, a little bit crazy, and order people to be killed, really, if he wants to.
Mm.
At that point, but he's not dealing with it well, is he? Because he's betrayed several of his friends throughout it.
Also, after Duncan was murdered, there's a scene, I think it might be the porter, I'm not so sure, and it's talking about like the horses and each other and that could be like an appearance versus reality, because Duncan's dead, he's describing a bunch of things that has happened, but the unusual, the weird, but they've only happened because there's been like evil inflicted. But then it's unsure, because have those things actually happened, or is he just exaggerating that because Duncan's dad?
Yeah. Possibly. I think you spoke about the blood on the hands as well before. Both Macbeth and Lady Macbeth talk about their blood on their hands, don't they?
Yeah.
So as you said, not really there, but what's it a symbol of?
Guilt.
Yeah, it shows their guilt. So the fact that they can't wash it from the hands. And she says to him, early on, when he said he had blood on his hands, a little water clears us of this deed. So at first, early on, she thinks, just wash it away.
And then she was stood there trying to scrub her hands off and it wouldn't go away.
Because the guilt, she ended up a stereotypical woman.
Yeah.
Didn't she?
Which was the opposite of what she wanted.
Yeah, she wanted to have no guilt or anything. And why did we say that happened, can you remember? Why did Shakespeare have to have her conform at the end?
To show the women of that time that trying to be like a man isn't a good thing.
Yeah,
you are a woman and you should stay in your role.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you should be who you appear to be, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Do you know, and all of that. So, have we anything?